right, let's roll for episode 56, The Beach Boys.
In your sister's room, that's where it started.
Hello, this is Paul.
This is Laura.
And I'm Alton.
We are Team Derringer.
And you are listening to Derringer Discoveries,
where we take you, the listener, on an adventure.
A music adventure.
Catch a wave and you're sitting on top of the world.
Listeners, in the late 1950s and early 1960s, on the heels of the popularity of rock music, a brand new genre of rock emerged, mainly from Southern California.
I wish they all could be California girls.
Laura and listeners, this emerging genre was known as surf rock. It was made popular by Jan and Dean.
Two girls for every boy.
The Deltones.
Thunder.
And the Bel Airs. Songs were heavy on electric guitar played to mimic the sound of waves. Lyrics were mostly about, you guessed it, cars, surfing, and girls.
What else should lyrics be about?
Those are the three primary lyrics, yes.
Listeners, in today's episode, we will talk about the band that is most associated with surf rock, the Beach Boys.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody'd be surfing like California.
And formed in 1961 in Hawthorne, California.
That's right, Alton. And the original lineup was the Wilson brothers, Brian, Dennis, and Carl, their cousin Mike Love, and their good friend Al Jardine.
The Beach Boys signed with Capitol Records in 1962 and released their first album, Surfin' Safari, the same year.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me.
Brian Wilson and his father, Murray, were involved in the production of the album.
Come on, baby, wait and see. Yes, I'm gonna take you surfing safari.
Brian wrote 9 of the 12 tracks. That tells you right there the genius of Brian Wilson.
Absolutely.
In the years following, the Beach Boys cranked out a number of hit songs capturing the spirit of surf rock, such as Surfin' USA.
Everybody's got surfing. Surfin' USA.
And Little Deuce Coupe.
She's my little Deuce Coupe. You don't know.
Guys, believe it or not, Dennis Wilson was the only really avid surfer in the band.
And you know something, Alton? Some people say that he actually only started surfing after the band got together.
You know how I know they were not surfers? In all their pictures, it's 5 of them holding one surfboard. And if you know anything about surfing, you wouldn't have...
It's a really long surfboard.
I'm like, that's a prop. They're just using it as a prop. Otherwise, they'd have 5 surfboards.
You are listening to Derringer Discoveries.
With listeners in more than 30 countries.
This is Aunt Tilly from Czechia in Central Europe. I enjoy listening to Derringer Discoveries.
Well, let's count down our favorite songs by the Beach Boys. And I'll start, Laura, if it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
To appreciate the Beach Boys, you really have to think about when was their heyday. And Laura mentioned, or maybe I mentioned, one of us mentioned 1962. That was the start of their heyday. They came right out of the gate and they were popular starting in 1962. And in my mind, their heyday ended at 1967. So a 5-year period was their heyday. During that time, they had over 30 charting songs in that 5-year period. 3 of their number one hits. They only had 4 number one hits, but 3 of them were during the heyday. So the first one was 1964, and that was I Get Around.
I get around, I get around, I get around.
Second number one hit was 1965. The song was Help Me, Rhonda.
Help me, Rhonda, yeah. Get around, I'm a home.
The third number one hit was 1966, and it was actually the end of 1966, so it went into 1967, and that's the one that you can't be on this planet and not know, right? Good Vibrations. That is their signature song.
Yep.
Yes.
Good Vibrations.
There's their heyday. They did have a 4th number one hit, and that 4th number one hit came years later in 1988. The song was Kokomo.
Kokomo.
Of those four songs, Brian Wilson wrote the first two number one hits by himself. The third one he wrote with Mike Love. And the fourth one, from 1988, Brian Wilson didn't write at all. Written by Mike Love and several others. So that kind of tells you what's happening to Brian Wilson through the years. But during the heyday, Brian Wilson was in complete control of the songwriting, and he definitely wrote the hits. I have chosen not one of the number one hits, but a song that has always been my favorite Beach Boys song. It did hit number 7 on the charts in America, and that song is called Surfer Girl. That's Surfer Girl, written by Brian Wilson, recorded by the Beach Boys, and you cannot deny those harmonies. What a song. Surfer Girl from 1963.
Ви слухаєте Derringer Discoveries, подкаст музичних пригод.
Alton, why don't you go next? What is your favorite song by the Beach Boys?
Well, Paul, I come to it from a different angle. My parents used to have a Beach Boys album. And so when I was only a few years old, I can remember hearing the Beach Boys and being amazed at the music and the harmonies and how popular they were at the time. However, as I grew older, I kind of drifted away from the Beach Boys and was reintroduced to one of their songs. It was from their Pet Sounds album.
If you should ever leave me.
The song was God Only Knows, but it was covered by David Bowie on his 1984 album called Tonight.
Do I need to play a snippet of David Bowie's version? Is that what you're saying?
If you would, please.
If you should ever leave me.
One of the reasons it was such a favorite of mine when David Bowie covered it, he's got the higher Ziggy Stardust type voice. One of the most creative albums that the Beach Boys did, being Pet Sounds.
Yeah, that was definitely the pinnacle. Pet Sounds, God Only Knows, is one of their best-known songs. Maybe after Good Vibrations, it's one of the best-known songs. It's been covered. As anyone who listens to us knows, we do have a playlist of songs that are singers who have performed God Only Knows.
I may not always love you.
We have like 40-plus recording artists on that playlist, all performing God Only Knows, David Bowie being one of them.
God only knows what I'd be without you.
It is a very popular song by the Beach Boys, but here's an interesting tidbit for our listeners. It only peaked at number 39 in America. So at the time, it was not considered one of their bigger songs.
God only knows what I'd be without you.
How about you, Laura? What's your favorite song?
Johan, de la banda ecuatoriana Salvant, escucha a Derringer Discoveries.
Minasan, ongaku boken podcasto no Derringer Discoveries.
This is the way.
My favorite song by the Beach Boys is I Can Hear Music. It's actually a cover of a song written by Ellie Greenwich, Jeff Barry, and Phil Spector, and it was produced by Carl Wilson.
Maybe that's why we're all.
It was originally recorded by the Ronettes in 1966.
Maybe that's why when we're all alone, I can hear music.
Brian Wilson actually had no involvement with this recording. You might think that makes it a questionable choice, but I stand by it. I just love their version of this song.
I can hear music.
Laura, I know when we were talking about doing the Beach Boys, you've been wanting to have the song be your song, and I thought, there's no way to sway you off of this, but it's not a Brian Wilson song.
It's not, but I just
I don't know
it.
What you're saying with that. You might be sending a signal.
Whenever you touch me, baby, whenever you're near.
Gosh, it's just something about their interpretation of this song. I've just always loved it.
I hear the music all the time, yeah.
The Beach Boys hit 24 on the charts in the U.S., number 24 with Laura's song. It was a good hit here in 1969. I Can Hear Music by the Beach Boys, and as Laura mentioned, Brian Wilson was not, I repeat, was not one of the writers.
Hallo zusammen, hier ist Rainer vom Retrowave-Projekt UAP aus Holzminden im schönen Weserbergland. Ich höre Derringer Discoveries, ein Musikabenteuer-Podcast.
In 1983, Dennis Wilson tragically passed away in a drowning accident. Carl Wilson passed away from lung cancer in 1998. And Brian Wilson retreated from public life for many, many years.
So guys, what do you think about the Beach Boys? Did they jump the shark?
Yeah, I'll jump in. Look, the Beach Boys are one of the most popular, in the history of rock music, they're one of the most popular American bands. In fact, I would say around the world, everyone knows the name the Beach Boys, and we know the sound that we think of. We know that surfing sound.
Catch a wave and you're sitting on top of the world.
And I think forever, as long as we're alive, we're going to be thinking of the Beach Boys positively. But they really did just have that heyday, 1962 to 1967. I think at that point, they did start to retread, and at some point, they certainly jumped the shark. Without Brian Wilson's acuity at songwriting, they lost the edge.
Yeah, Paul, I agree with you. I think they were meteoric in popularity through those few years. Then when their creative genius behind the band decided they should go a different direction, and I can't say I disagree with him, because there's only so much you can do about talking about surfing and cars. Even though Pet Sounds, critically, a lot of people liked it, a lot of people didn't. But from that point on, they were pretty much off of the radar, the mainstream radar. So yeah, I agree with you. I think they jumped the shark at that point. How about you, Laura?
Oh, I hate to say it, but yes, I think they did. And, you know, with the British invasion, surf rock and bands like the Beach Boys, unfortunately, they just weren't really relevant anymore. And even though Pet Sounds is considered one of the most innovative albums in rock and roll history, it really just wasn't what the fans wanted. But I would encourage Derringer Discovery's listeners to go out and listen to Pet Sounds. It really is a spectacular album.
I think they will listen to Pet Sounds right after they send us hate mail. This will probably be the most...
Well, I know.
Listeners, make sure you address that hate mail to Paul.
To Alton and Laura.
No, like I said, I hate to say it.
Here's the question. We've all three said they jumped the shark. Listeners, if you disagree, write us and politely tell us that you disagree. You don't have to send us hate mail. You can just send us disagreement mail. But now that we've said that they've jumped the shark, we do have to go down that other route. We have to, whatever we have to do, we have to do something, right?
We have to cross the Rubicon.
Did the Beach Boys cross the Rubicon?
Crossing the Rubicon is reaching the point of no return.
Well, Paul, I don't think they did. I think their music was so influential. And a lot of the artists that I know you and I like actually made a point to create songs that sounded like the Beach Boys. Now, this one, as I was doing my research for this episode, this one blew me away the most. A Beach Boy actually appeared on a Pink Floyd song.
What song was that, Alton?
It was The Show Must Go On, which comes from the album The Wall.
The show must go on.
Roger Waters decided that he wanted it to sound like the Beach Boys, and the Beach Boys were actually scheduled to do background vocals or do their famous harmonies on this song for Roger Waters, but they backed out at the last minute. But luckily, Bruce Johnston, who was one of the Beach Boys, right? He did make it, and he took care of arranging the backing vocals on that song. And get this, included in that group was Tony Tennille of Captain and Tennille fame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No way. That's amazing.
Love will keep us together.
Yeah, so now you've got a Beach Boy, you got Tony Tennille of Captain and Tennille, all on a Pink Floyd song, which totally blew me away.
The show must go on.
Paul, I know one of your artists made a point to write a song that sounded like a Beach Boys song.
Yeah, Elvis Costello was clearly influenced by the Beach Boys, Elvis Costello being from the United Kingdom, and he had a song called The Other Side of Summer, where he is basically imitating the Beach Boys.
Better be wide awake, for the moment break, and drive the bars and the surf.
Even the Beatles imitated the Beach Boys with their song Back in the USSR.
Well, the Jilly Girls really knocked me out, the West behind.
Mike Love, from the Beach Boys, was with Paul McCartney in India at the time Paul was writing Back in the USSR.
And Moscow girls make me sing and shout.
Mike was the one who suggested that Paul McCartney embrace it and take it even further. So Paul McCartney does have the passages where he is clearly mimicking the Beach Boys.
And Georgia's always on.
guess we'll let Laura wrap it up. We think they jumped the shark. They stopped being relevant and certainly stopped being edgy. They are their own genre. And so to say they crossed the Rubicon, when really, to this day, when we hear a certain sound, we go, that's the Beach Boys sound. There's no way we could say they crossed the Rubicon. So no, they did not cross the Rubicon. Laura, what are your thoughts?
Definitely not. I mean, the band still tours, and even though the lineup today is nothing like the original membership, people seem to enjoy the nostalgia. And, you know, there are just certain Beach Boys songs that you hear the opening line, you can't help but smile, right? It just makes you happy. And they just announced a big summer tour for 2024, so clearly they could still sell concert tickets.
Yeah. They'll be out there competing with the Cowsills.
Not to mention that they have almost 12 million monthly listeners on Spotify. Listeners, for 60 plus years, the Beach Boys have been part of the landscape of American music.
With over 100 million record sales, 80 charting songs, including 36 in the U.S. Top 40, and 4 number one hits, as I mentioned, they remain one of the most commercially successful and critically acclaimed bands in music history.
See if you can hear any of their influence in the music that you listen to today.
Until next time, this is Paul Derringer.
This is Laura Derringer.
En this is Alton Derringer.
Jij luistert naar Derringer Discoveries, een muziekavonturenpodcast.
Listeners, you can follow us on social media. We're at Derringer Pod on Instagram and X, formerly known as Twitter, and at Derringer Discoveries on Facebook. Remember to follow us on your podcast app, and please share this episode with others. Thanks for listening to Derringer Discoveries.
In your sister's room.
I think that's what the production staff of Derringer Discoveries does.
Yes. Yeah, our massive production staff that's sitting behind the scenes making sure we don't have any bloopers or mistakes on any of our information.
Yes.
Laura, Alton, maybe you should go next. Alton. Ah!
Yeah, that was a trend that never really caught on. Five people on one surfboard.
Is this where we insert the obvious Beatles snippet?
I think it is. Right here.
Insert it right here.
And listeners, that was an obvious Beatles snippet insertion. Kids, don't surf and drink.
I have one insert. John Cowsill of the Cowsills was the touring drummer for the Beach Boys for about 10 years, up until 2023.
Cool.